Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 10. I love the words of that song, "Jesus Christ is all to me." I love to hear Brother Mike sing. Sometimes I get stuck with leading the singing down at Grace Fellowship. And my dad taught me how to sing. My grandfather had a big farm out in the country, and every Saturday we'd get up and go out and visit Grandma and Grandpa at the farm. And my dad his favorite song was "On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand, Cast a Wishful Eye to Canaan's Fair and Happy Land Where My Possessions Lie." He'd sing that with just me and Dad. And he'd throw his head back, and he couldn't sing a lick. And he taught me how to sing. And I have to lead singing occasionally. I'm embarrassed to do it. But one day, and I always use Mike as a benchmark. I've loved to hear Mike sing. One day I'll be able to sing like that, even better than that, in the presence of our Lord, sing His praises for all eternity. I do indeed bring you greetings from Grace Fellowship, the gathering of the brethren there in Wheelersburg. Send their best regards. We love your pastor, and we know all of you. We know every one of you, and have known you for years and years, and our thoughts and prayers are with you all. All right. Luke chapter 10 will begin in verse 38. This past Wednesday night, we recognized our graduating seniors down at church. We had 4 graduating seniors this year. And they're going to begin to step away from home, from that safety and the confines of their parents and the almost complete control over where they go and what they do and what they hear and what they see. And they're going to begin to step out into this world, this big, big world, full of everything that's predominantly bad. And I thought I'd been looking at this here in Luke chapter 10, and I thought, what would be good advice for these young people? What would be good advice to give them? What would be good advice for middle-aged people and for old people? The advice is the same. And I thought as I was looking at this portion of God's Word, I thought, this is good advice right here. This that our Lord taught these 2 sisters in this meeting in their home. This is good advice. It's good advice for every age. It's good advice for every day. So let's look at it just a little bit here this morning. The Lord be pleased to open our eyes. Verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went. Now our Lord, in His public ministry, everywhere He went, He preached, He taught. Crowds of people would follow Him. And occasionally He would take a period of time and He would withdraw Himself to the quiet of a small community or an individual's home. And He would recover from that ordeal of preaching and all that was on Him. And as He went, He had His disciples with Him. Those that He had called, those that He had revealed Himself to, those people traveled with Him. He had the apostles that He had called out and to follow Him and to be with Him. And so these were traveling together. And He entered into a certain village. You notice that? And I thought that caught my eye. He went to a village. This is so contrary to what religion does in our day. Over my lifetime, I guess I've seen just about every crusade that Billy Graham ever went on. And those places, I always was impressed with those places and the gigantic crowds. And it was always in big cities. They always went to big cities. Big cities. They went to Calcutta. They went to Hong Kong. They went to New York and Atlanta and San Francisco. And I thought, I go down and preach sometimes for Brother Maurice down at Madisonville. And we pass a little town down there just before you get to Madisonville, about 5 miles this side of Madisonville. There's a place called Morton's Gap, Kentucky. It's just a dot on the highway. It's just a speck of dust beside the highway down there. Morton's Gap, Kentucky. Billy Graham never went to Morton's Gap, Kentucky, or Benny Hinn, or any of them fellas. They go to those great big places. They go to football stadiums, and they draw huge crowds of people, and a lot of emotion, and a lot of whoop-de-doo, and falterol, you know. But our Lord, He goes to a village. He goes to this little village. It's about 3 miles from Jerusalem. It's just a tiny little place. It's just a little, tiny little place. And that's where he is pleased to go. And that's where he's pleased to sit down. And that's where he's pleased to teach those people in that place about him. Who he is. What he come to do. Who did he come to do it for? So he comes and enters into this little village. And look at this. And there was a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now evidently, Martha is a widow lady. Martha has, this is her home, and in this home she has her sister Mary and her brother Lazarus. We all know who Lazarus is. And she received him into her home. Now, our Lord's traveling with a group of men that he's called out to teach the gospel to. One day he would send them forth with that message that he's revealed to them. He would send them forth to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And these people were traveling with him. Now Martha, this widow lady, she's received this whole crowd. Our Lord and these that are traveling, she received them into her home. At much expense to her. At great expense to her. And she didn't care anything about that. It bothered her none. This is her Lord. The Lord had revealed himself to these two ladies and to Lazarus in this home. He loved these people. He frequented this place often. He went there many times. These people loved him. They saw him as being the Messiah, the Christ that would come, the deliverer that the whole Old Testament preached of, that taught in those pictures and types and emblems. This was him. This was the Messiah. This was the Christ. And they had fled to him and they clung to him and trusted in him that he was indeed the Savior. And she welcomed them into her home at an expense to her and at a peril to her. The whole religious world at that time, the whole Jewish economy at that time, they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. They hunted him and hounded him everywhere he went. They badgered him. They looked for any flaw. They looked for any slip of a word or a phrase or any action that they could accuse him of. And anybody that would join themselves with him, they were on their list also. He was public enemy number one to the Jewish religion. And any that would take up with him or would follow him or would own him to be Lord and Savior, the Messiah that was prophesied, they were on that list also. So she received them without any fear, without any reservations at all. She received him into her home. Now verse 39. And she had a sister. Martha had a sister named Mary. Now look at the way this is written. Mary also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now evidently, here's the way this went. Our Lord entered into this little village. And he went to this certain home of this certain woman named Martha. And he went into this home. Now after the amenities were carried out, after the greetings and the introductions, there may have been those traveling with our Lord that was not known to the people in this home, and the introductions was made, evidently our Lord sat down. And what he did, his entire public ministry, he began to teach. And he sat there, and these people sat at his feet. Look at this. Mary also sat at our Lord's feet. There was Martha, and there was Mary sitting at our Lord's feet, right up close here, so they didn't miss anything. Didn't miss a word. Just couldn't wait to hear him open his mouth and that tenderness drop from his lips. That forgiveness and that pardon that's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't wait. They couldn't wait to hear that. This is what they needed. This is what we all need. And they couldn't wait. And there they sat. And I believe it's not recorded here what our Lord taught these people. These people that were in this home. Lazarus is not mentioned here. But he no doubt was there. So there's at least three people in this home. And probably others. No doubt there was others in Bethany that they had invited over. Here's the Lord is here. The Lord has stopped by. The Lord is going to teach. He's going to exhort us. He's going to tell us about the gospel. He's going to tell us about himself. It's not recorded what our Lord spake. And I don't think we're in error here. As long as we bring no injury to the Word of God, I don't believe we're in error by using our sanctified imagination. What may the Lord have taught these people while he was there and they sat at his feet? He may have gone back to that first prophecy of him. He may have gone back after the fall in the garden and the Lord came and called for Adam. Where art thou, Adam? And he turned, ultimately our Lord turned to Satan and he said, the seed of woman is going to bruise your head. going to crush your dominion. Going to put you out of business. The seed of woman. And the Lord may have said, I'm that seed. I am that one that's prophesied throughout the whole Testament. I'm He that would come. I'm God Almighty in human flesh. I and my Father are one. And I've came down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. He may have told them that. They may have sat there and just waited to hear that. He may have gone back to the ark. He may have taken them back to the days of the ark. God looked down from heaven. The whole world was corrupt. He may have said the whole world was corrupt. Yet Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said to Noah, build an ark. Build an ark for the protection and for the deliverance of you and your family and no one else. He may have said, I'm that ark. As Noah was called into that ark and that judgment fell and came upon the whole world and the whole world died except those that was in that ark. There was deliverance in that ark. There was safety in that ark. The Lord said, Noah, come on into the ark. And he came into that ark and God shut the ark. And there was safety as he floated above that judgment. He may have said to them, I'm that ark. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you comfort. I'll give you forgiveness. He may have said that to these two girls that were sitting there at his feet, just waiting to hear that drop of tenderness and love come from the lips of our Lord. You remember that story back. He may have taken them back to the time of Abraham. Now, the Lord had tried Abraham 10 times, the old writers say, 10 times. And then there was a time he spoke to Abraham and he said, Abraham, take your son. Take your only son, son whom you love, and take him an offering as a burnt offering to me upon a mountain that I'll show you. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and he took that boy, that promised son that didn't come until Abraham was 100 years old. This was God's promise to Abraham that he'd give him a son. And he gave him a son. And now he said, take that son, take him to a mountain and offer him for a burnt offering to me. And Abraham rose up early, took that boy, took the knife, took the fire, took the wood, and they began their journey. And they went 3 days' journey, and Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place. And he told them servants, he said, you stay here. He said, me and the lad will go forward, and we'll worship, and we'll come again. And as they went along, Isaac said, Father, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, you've got the knife. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for the offering? Where's that that we approach God through and by? The lamb. Where's the lamb of God? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And they went on. And the altar was built. And Isaac was bound and laid on that altar. And Abraham took that knife and stretched forth his hand to slay his son and to cut him up and quarter him and lay him on that altar. And set fire to it. And the Lord said, don't do that lad any harm. And Abraham looked. And there's a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And he let his boy loose. Turned him loose. And he went and got that ram. Bound it. Put it on the altar. Cut it up. Set it on fire. It may be. It may be. The Lord said, Isaac deserved to die. All that's born from Adam deserve to die. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. He deserved to die. But Abraham took that substitute, and our Lord may have told them, I'm that ram caught in the thicket. All deserve to die. All are worthy of death. But I come to die for my people and give them a perfect salvation, a perfect standing before God Almighty. It may have been that our Lord was telling these type of illustrations, taking the Old Testament scriptures, which was the scriptures that they had in that day. The New Testament wasn't written. They had the Old Testament scriptures. And he took those things, maybe he took those things out of the Old Testament to point to him and to show these people, I'm the fulfillment of those types and emblems. I'm that rock smitten. As out of that rock flowed a life-giving stream of water and life and hope for those people in the wilderness. So the Lord Jesus Christ, smitten by God Almighty, and out of the Lord Jesus Christ flows an abundant supply of pardon and peace and forgiveness and hope. Come unto me. Come unto me. Is anybody thirsty? Anybody thirsty? Come unto me and drink. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He may have said that. He may have said, I'm that manna. I'm that manna that came down from heaven. And here these girls sit, just like you are this morning, to hear about our Lord Jesus Christ. If someone's talking truly about our Lord Jesus Christ, we want to be there. We want to hear what they're saying. Just every word, just hanging on every word. Now look here. Verse 40. But Martha. Oh, that word, that word but there looks, it looks as big as this room. Think about what's going on here. Our Lord has come to this little village. And He's come to this modest home. And He has come in. And He's sat down. And He's began to preach and to teach and reveal more of Himself to these people. And there these two girls sit. And evidently, in the middle of this, Martha gets up. And she excuses herself. And leaves the room. And she goes and becomes cumbered about, which must much serving. She has on her mind, these people need fed. There is much that needs to be done to take care of the physical needs of these people. Our Lord is teaching about the kingdom, about God Almighty, sovereignty and power. He's teaching about the forgiveness and hope a dead dog sinner's got in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm that hope. I'm Him that was prophesied through the Old Testament that would come. Martha got up and left. I've got potatoes on the stove back there. I've got green beans that's got to be fixed. I've got bread in the oven. I've got to do these things. Now listen, that word cumbered about, that word properly means to be drawn away or to be distracted. Have you ever been drawn away or distracted? And there was a time down there, Cecil was superintendent over the hot strip. I was a maintenance man down there at the mill. This was 1988, I believe. We was raising our family. Me and Jackie had four children. And there was never enough money. You know that's raising a family. It's just, what do you do without? It's who don't get a new pair of shoes, you know? And there come a time, they decided to run that hot strip mill the middle 15 turns a week. And they was down every Saturday and Sunday. Every Saturday and Sunday. Don Blanton was the head man there over the maintenance in Hot Strip, and Cecil superintendent. Well, I knew those fellas. And so I went over and I said, you got room for another fella? I was working the blast furnace maintenance. And they said, yeah, we'll take everybody we can get. And for a solid year, I went over there in the Hot Strip every Saturday and Sunday. I worked every Saturday and Sunday, worked 16 hours every day, every weekend for a solid year. That's what's going on here. You can never, that gospel that I missed, that good news that I missed in that year, I can never recover. I can never go back and pick it up. I can never hear it the way it was delivered. I can never hear the tenderness and the earnestness of it and the boldness of it. I can never pick that up. It's gone forever. I was cumbered about. And we do that. And Martha did that. She got cumbered about. She was just distracted. She was pulled away. With these things that don't matter. What matters? What do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what matters. And I thought of this week as these young people. We honored these young people and recognized them as they graduated. And they're going to go off to school. They'll be married in a few years. They'll begin their families in a few years. They'll start their jobs. They'll be influenced by people out there on those jobs. Predominantly, they've been influenced by us all these years. Now they're going to go out there. And our prayer is that, Lord, don't let them be distracted. Don't let them be drawn away from this place. Don't let them be taken away from this place. Keep their hearts and keep their minds focused on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make it a most important thing to them. Make it a most necessary thing to them. I've got a little book at home. Henry gave it to me years ago. Spurgeon had his preacher school over there in London 125 years ago. And those young men that would come to that preacher school, he had in this booklet, he had these things that he would stress. Now, not to do with the gospel. He taught them the gospel. He impressed upon them the necessity to preach the gospel. But this was things that a pastor would need to know. How to dress. How to act when he goes into a sick room or when he goes to a funeral. Or how do you present yourself? How does a man of God conduct a funeral? How does he, What about his library? What kind of books does he have in his library? And those type things. But he said in there, and he said, I want you to know this. He said, I want you to know this. And this was 125 years ago. They didn't have work on the weekends. They didn't work continuous operation plants. But he said, there's only four things that'll keep a man away from the gospel. That'll keep a man away from that worship service. There's only four things. He said, one of them things is you have a man sick, and he can't come. He said, the second thing, like your pastor this morning, he's on the service of the Lord. He's out on the service of the Lord. He's out busying himself about spreading the gospel. He said, now the third thing. Oh, he said, this ought to be obvious. He's dead. He's not here. He's gone on. And I'd say the fourth thing in our day, work. There was no Sunday work back 125 years ago, but it is in our day. Me and Pete was talking about it earlier. Our son-in-law, Gene, works up there where Pete works, and they work around the clock. They never stop. There's just a 21-turn operation. It's a continuous operation. But the fifth thing, and this is the most critical thing, they just don't care. They just don't care not to be there. And Spurgeon said, you've got to guard against those things. Guard against that. That's what's going on here. There's no necessity for Martha to leave the presence of our Lord in Him teaching and preaching and revealing Himself. There's no necessity for her to leave that place and to go out there and busy herself in those things that are temporal at the very best. I thought when I was looking at this, there was a time when our Lord was out there preaching. Crowds of people would come and hear Him preach. 5,000 of them was out there hearing Him preach. And they'd been there all day. And He taught the people. He preached to the people. And they began to be time to go home. And He said, have we got any food here to feed these people? They said, no, we don't have anything. Said, there's a little boy here. Said, he's got some fish. And we've got five loaves. Five loaves and two fishes. 5,000 people. And He said, have them sit down on the ground. And He took that bread. And He broke it. And they began to distribute it to the people. And they had abundance. Everybody ate till they couldn't eat another thing. And they had an abundance, 12 baskets full left over. You think there's any chance our Lord here, in the presence of His people, that He loves, that just in a few days He's going to go to the cross for, He's going to die for, and He's here in their home, and He's teaching them about Himself. He's revealing the gospel to these people. You think there's any chance anybody's going to pass out from no energy? Anybody going to swoon because they haven't had anything to eat? This is our Lord here. And yet this woman, Martha, got up and she left the presence of our Lord. And she went out and become cumbered about much serving. And listen to this. Not only did she do this. Not only did she not come and sit at His feet. She come blustering in a huff here. Now look, just look at this. Here our Lord is. He's talking to these people. He's preaching to them. He's teaching them. He's revealing Himself to them. And the door flies open. Here about a year ago, our pastor brought just a crackerjack message, just honoring the God Almighty and glorifying our Savior. And as soon as the message was over, and he finished and closed his Bible, and there was a visitor there that morning. And he jumped up. And he said, can I say a word? And afterwards, Charles said, I thought, well, maybe the Lord's done something for him. Maybe he wants to tell us that the Lord has opened his eyes. He believes the gospel. He sees Christ in the gospel. He wants to flee to Christ. And he said, okay, yeah, stand up. And that fellow stood up and he said, the Lord spoke to me this morning and he told me to have a word for you people here in this place. And Charles said, sit down. You ain't going to have a word in this place. He said, if you want to talk to me later in private, okay. You're not going to disrupt what we've had here this morning. Martha, not only, was she not interested in staying there and hearing the Lord Himself teach. She left, and then she comes back in a real snit here. And she comes back, and she, in the middle of this, our Lord teaching, and the door flies open, and she runs in, and she said, Lord, This is just so me. This is just so us. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? You bid her to get up and leave your presence and come out here and do these things that don't matter none. That's what she's saying. She comes in and disrupts this whole thing that our Lord's doing. And verse 41. You remember, this is one of our Lord's sheep. He loves this woman. He would die for this woman. And Jesus answered and said to her, what these are is words on paper. Now, does anybody think that he screamed at her? Does anybody think he roughed her up? Did she deserve being roughed up? She did. She absolutely did. She deserved some rough treatment. She deserved to be, as we used to say, raked over the coals. I don't think there's any way. You take these little ones here, and you tell them, honey, don't get around that stove. It'll burn you. It's hot. Don't get around that water. Don't get around that grease when it's popping. It'll burn you. It'll burn you. And one of these precious little ones, they wander over there when that stove's hot. Lay that hand up there. Burn that hand. How do we treat that little one? With much tenderness and pity and love. We scoop them up in our arms and we hug them. I believe that's what's going on here. Our Lord's pitying this woman. This is a mild rebuke. But this is someone that He loves. And this is how forgiving He is of us. In our neglect, this is how forgiving He is. And He said to her, Martha, Martha, so loving, so tender, so kind. Oh, Martha, you're so careful. You're so troubled about so many things. You're wrapped up. You're entangled in so many things. Does that sound like me and you? Does it sound like we're just so wrapped up? A phrase that has become very popular in our day, especially with people that are our age. They say, it's time to downsize. Cecil, it's time to downsize. It's time to... We don't need a 4-bedroom home anymore. We don't need a 1/2-acre yard or a 2-acre yard. We don't need that. Who's going to be running around out there playing? Certainly not me and Jackie. We don't need all that. We don't need 7 rooms when we stay in one room. We only stay in one little part of that room. It's time to downsize. That's what our Lord's saying here. Martha, Martha, you're careful and you're troubled about so many things. So many things that don't matter. All this here, this home, Martha, this home one day is going to be, oh, it's going to be gone. Very soon it's going to be gone. This village here that you live in, it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. This nation, Israel, it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. It's all going to be gone. And you're careful and troubled about these things. Your family that's so near and dear to you, Martha, your sister, your brother, this community, it's so near and dear to you. It's all going to be gone. You're troubled and careful about so many, many things. Martha, one thing's needed. One thing is needful. Just one. Just one thing's needful. All these other things will be taken care of. All these other things will be taken care of. Solomon in all his splendor was not arrayed like one of those lilies of the valley. Those birds, they don't store up. They don't. God provides for them. God provides for them. Won't He take care of us? Don't be. Now listen. He's not rebuking her. There's 168 hours in the week. He's not rebuking her for the other 160 hours or 165 hours. And He's not rebuking us for what we do. But there is a time. There is absolutely a time. When the family of God meets, and when the Word of God is declared, and when the Word of God is preached, surely, Martha, surely you can make time for this 3-hour visit. Surely you can make time for me in this hour or two that I'm going to be talking with you. Be cumbered about. Be encumbered about. Be careful. Be troubled about all these things. By all means. And I told those young people down there the other night, chase your dream, whatever it is. You want to be a teacher? You want to be an engineer? You want to be whatever you want to be? Go for it. Go to school. Got to go to college to be an engineer. You can't get it any other way. Go to college. Do those things. but not 168 hours a week. And that's what Martha's cumbered about. She's careful and troubled about so many things. She had no time. She had no time to sit at the Master's feet and hear about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, "One thing, Martha, one thing's needful. And Mary, she hath chosen that good part. She hath chosen to sit at my feet. She has chosen to learn of me. She has chosen to set her eyes and affection on me. One thing is needful, and she has chosen that good part. And it'll never be taken away from her. Martha, that'll never be taken away. All this other, be taken away. But that'll never be taken away." I certainly think, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's the teaching of this Scripture. I certainly think that is telling us, don't get entangled with this world. Don't get cumbered about where there was no time for this. Don't do that. But I thought, Henry used to always say, these Scriptures are bifocal. There is a meaning, and there's a meaning. And the spiritual meaning of this, I believe is this. And I thought of this as these young people are beginning to start this journey down through this world. Don't be drawn away. Don't be distracted from these things that we've been taught from our Lord Himself. Don't be distracted. It's a day of distraction. It's a day of compromise. Don't be distracted from these things. You young people that are beginning to step out there, don't be distracted. God Almighty is absolutely holy and sovereign. He sits on a throne which no man can approach. Nebuchadnezzar learned this. He said, God's sovereign. He's sovereign in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doeth thou? There is a teaching in our day that God's done all He can do and the rest is up to you. Don't be distracted from the truth. Don't be distracted from the absolute truth. God Almighty sits on a throne of holiness and sovereignty. He does what He will. When He will, with whom He will. Don't be distracted. Don't be cumbered about. Don't be drawn away. That little town down there, Morton's Gap, Kentucky, that none of the big shots ever went to, none of the big shots in religion ever went to, there was a fellow and his wife down there, had a little church. His name was C.D. Cole. And C.D. Cole had a dear friend. And this dear friend and his wife came there and lived 3 years in Morton's Gap, Kentucky with C.D. Cole. That man was Arthur W. Pink. He wrote The Sovereignty of God. And God used that book in 1954, Henry Mahan, the first Sovereign Grace Conference in Ashland, Kentucky. I.C. Herendeen had published that book up in Swingle, Pennsylvania. Henry wrote I.C. Herendeen, said, can I have a mailing list of the people that ordered Sovereignty of God? He sent him that mailing list. Henry took that mailing list and sent out these letters to these people all over this country. We're going to have a Sovereign Grace Bible Conference in Ashland, Kentucky. And people from, I think, 22 states came, traveled from all over the country. I believe John Flaming and two of his buddies got in a car and drove 51 hours straight, never stopped. Took turns driving all the way from California. Come here. God's sovereign. Arthur Pink knew it, and all of God's people know it. And don't be distracted and drawn away from that. No matter what the world says, no matter what anybody says, don't be distracted and drawn away from that. Man's a sinner. Man's a sinner, no matter what they say. God said, Adam, I've given you one commandment. Don't eat of the fruit that's on that tree in the midst of the garden. For in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely not get sick. Not become lame on one foot. Not become crippled or halt. Not lose your memory occasionally. You take of that fruit and you're going to die. And he did die, spiritually. That conduit of fellowship with God was severed. And it'll never be restored unless God determines to restore it in Christ. Don't be distracted from that. Man's a sinner at his very best state. All our righteousness, that best that we do on the best day when we use the best language and we're dressed the best, everything we do, the best we can do in God's sight, is filthy rags. Filthy rags. Don't ever let anybody tell you different. Man's a sinner, and he's dead, and he can't do anything to help himself. God Almighty. Third point, God Almighty in eternity past set His love on a particular people. Not because of any goodness in them. Not because of anything He saw that was worthy or of merit. But just because He would. Because of His mercy and tender grace and love for sinners. He set His eye on a particular people. And don't let anybody tell you anything different. Don't be drawn away from that. Don't be distracted from that. God elected the people. Don't be ashamed to say it. Don't be afraid to use that word. He either did or He didn't. I think in that first conference back there in 1954, they had a man that was designated to preach of the 4-5 points of Calvinism, which is nothing but the gospel. Each man preached a particular point. And then the keynote address was a fellow named Rolf Barnard, and he preached a message entitled 6 Stubborn Statements. Either God elected the people or He didn't. Either man's dead or he's not. Either God's sovereign or he's not. And don't let anybody distract you from that. You've heard it since you was little fellas. Don't be encumbered about and drawn away from that. The Lord Jesus Christ came. He came on purpose. He came at the set time. He came to redeem a particular people. Those that God loved in eternity past. Those that were given to Christ as the surety of that everlasting covenant. He came in at the exact time that it was appointed. He came and He lived and He died and took away the sin of those people. Those particular people. Particular redemption. Don't run from it. Don't be ashamed to say it. Don't be drawn away from it. When our Lord Jesus Christ hung and died on a cross, He died for a particular people. He said, Father, forgive them, every one of them that You gave Me. Forgive them. Forgive them. And they are forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be drawn away from that. Don't be drawn away from that. Fifth point. Those for whom God Almighty loved in eternity past. Those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ was the eternal security for those people in that covenant of grace. Those that He came and died for. Those will be called irresistibly by the Spirit of God. They will be awakened. They will be given life. They will be given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll hear the gospel. By the foolishness of preaching, please God to save them to believe. That's God's method. God's method. He's chosen preaching to save them to believe. Come and hear that preaching. Don't be drawn away from that. Don't be encumbered by this world and things and whatever that's going to perish. And finally, my sixth point. They will persevere. They will persevere. I've got a young nephew that lives down in Kentucky, down in Lexington. He goes to some church down there. But they had a big discussion. Had a cookout the other night. They just about got into the fight there over whether a man could lose his salvation. He called me and he said, Uncle Dale, said, what do you think about that? I said, well, absolutely a man can lose his salvation if he produced it. But if God give it to a man, if God gives it to a man in Christ, is there any chance he's going to lose it? Any chance we're going to lose it? Any chance Martha's not going to be drawn back into the fold? This was one he loved. Martha, Martha. I'll teach you something here, Martha. Now sit down. You're cumbered about many things. But one thing's needful. One thing's necessary. One thing's vital. And your sister Mary, she's chosen that good part. Christ, sitting at His feet, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He'll never be taken away from her. Martha, Martha. Perseverance of the saints. We will persevere. We're kept by the power of God. That which He has begun in us, He'll perfect it. He'll perfect it in that day. I believe that's what He's teaching here. I believe that's what He's teaching. Don't get encumbered about with this world. Don't get pulled away from it. This that we have here, this that you have here, that God has raised up here. It's not everywhere. There's places after places after places that God's not been pleased to raise up a gospel preacher and enabled to stand and declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's no greater blessing on a community than when God raises up the gospel in that community. And we have it here in this place. we have it here in this place. Don't be encumbered about and drawn away from this. Plan your week around this. But I think the teaching also is, don't be drawn away from this that our Lord has taught us. Salvation's of the Lord in Christ for those for whom He died. I hope that's been a blessing.